All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Welcome back to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. It's Tim here with John. John, say hello to the people.
Hello, everybody.
Before we get started, I want to tell you guys about our newest sponsor, NordVPN. So by now, most of you have probably heard about VPNs, but in case you haven't, VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. It offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online, but they do a lot more than that. It shields your IP address, it changes your browsing location, and makes online life easier. The main benefits that I've kind of noticed so far, and I downloaded this 2 weeks ago, you can change your location. So you know how there's like regional blackouts for the games you want to watch? Sometimes there's different discount codes for online shopping depending on your location. You can move your location around to a different IP address to watch the games you want to watch, to get the discount codes you want to watch, in addition to increased privacy and security, safer internet browsing, all of that. I downloaded it last week. Like I said, it took literally less than 2 minutes. Click, click, click. No credit cards to start the trial. And it's very, very easy. You can choose your IP address anywhere over the world, around the whole world, and you just go. So check it out yourself at www.nordvpn.com/DTG to access 4 bonus months if you sign up for a 2-year trial. So check it out. John, you're going to download it too.
So could I, like, say I'm in France and watch shows from France? Is that how that works?
Well, say like there are certain shows that aren't on Netflix US, but they are on Netflix UK, for example. Like that's the kind of thing that you could just change your address to see what else you might get access to. So NordVPN doesn't promise any of that stuff, but it's just to poke around and see what changing your location can do for access. It doesn't know that you're in Michigan. It thinks you're somewhere else. Singapore.
Stealing. It's tricky. I like it. It's not stealing.
No, not stealing. Smart. Completely legal. John, we got an email that I feel like you should clarify a couple of things from last week.
I don't want to encourage these types of emails. We got somebody laid into me. It was just the most like all over the map email. First, it started off with, "Hey, you guys, love the show. You guys should work for Chicago. Great start. I was very excited." And then it took like a turn for the worse. And he's like, started swearing at me. "You killed that chicken. I thought you were a God-fearing man. You're disgusting." This and that, like really laid into me. "How dare you, you cheap son of a gun. You should have had a heater for that chicken." Tim wants me to clarify. I did have a heater in the car for the chickens. This one decided to venture outside of the coop and died. I guess I should put a tracker on him. It was freezing cold. I don't know what happened. So, yeah, I'm not like killing chickens for fun. Like, I have a heater. It's hooked up. It's working fine. I have a temperature. I can see what the temperature is in the coop. And it just got really cold for that week stretch where it was like below zero. And it ventured out and it died. It went out and made it back into the door of the coop and it died. Unfortunately, I'm like, these kids love these chickens. It's not like I'm trying to kill them. It's just life happens, and you know, what are you gonna do? So like, pump the brakes, you guys. It's amazing just the hatred. Like it was quite the email. It went from like, "I love you guys, this is the best show ever," to like, "I'm gonna murder you and your family if you don't take care of those chickens." It was wild, but I love the support, so thank you. The passion.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster of an email, but I'm glad we clarified that and that you are not starving the chickens nor freezing them to death and that you do provide good care to these animals.
I started on the coop yesterday. I built the base. I built the feet and braced them all up. I'm going to put the floor on today and frame up the walls. And there you go. My back's killing me. I need to get like an actual workbench where I can work straight because I was bending over, cutting these angles on these braces. Ugh. Getting old. All right, let's moving on. It's not often we talk about these two teams, Tim, on this show, just because we talk about teams that are good. Team, I'm really close to the camera today. My face is like right in it. I'm going to back up. We talk about the playoffs. We talk about the trade deadline. We talk about, you know, teams that are vying for the Stanley Cup. Both of these teams, unfortunately, have seen better days, and they're in the rebuild mode. Some is going better than others. Anaheim is not where they want to be. Chicago, I think, is right where they want to be in their rebuild. They're giving the young kids some ice time, and they're showing, you know, the fruits of that ice time. They're playing pretty well. Well, last night, these two teams met up in Chicago. And it was a doozy of a game, a write-off game for everybody who was just watching hockey that night. There's a lot of other good games going on, excuse me. And who's going to tune in for Chicago and Anaheim? Well, if you did, you caught a very exciting game. It's Connor Bedard's best game in the NHL. 5 points, fantastic game. And then there was a potential goalie fight. There was some scrums here and there. It was just an entertaining game overall. Chicago came out ahead 7-2, which... don't look now. In their last four, they've won 3 of their last 4. Maybe they're making a push. I don't know. But they're playing great. They beat Arizona twice and Anaheim once. They lost to the Washington Capitals 5-1. Ovechkin, thankfully, didn't get any goals. And they're looking fun. But the best part of this game was Connor Bedard was mic'd up for the first time in his career. So we got a chance to hear just how he interacts with players on the ice, how he talks to the referees, and just how he is on the ice. Because you've heard him talk to other players on the bench who were mic'd up, you know, little snippets here and there. But this was the first real time where you had kind of an inside look at Connor Bedard, the enigma that is the future of the Chicago Blackhawks. And Tim, you cut some clips out that were pretty funny. What was he talking about, Tim?
Yeah, one of the first ones that came up was during a whistle break. He went over to one of the refs and basically asked him, he's like, hey, can you guys like get out of our way during the game? And he's like, when we curl up on the board, you guys are right there. And the ref's like, which side? He's like, both sides. Like, you're always there. And the ref responds something really funny. He goes, I'm trying my best, but you guys are fast and I'm slow. And that's never been more true than it is in 2024. Like, this kid, the way the speed, the game is moving, and that's something that we could, you know, that would be a good, interesting offseason topic, is how do the refs evolve to the speed of the game? Because we talk about the young players and the old players adjusting and all that. It's a different game for reffing than it was 5 or 20 years ago. You know what I mean? So, but I really like that little moment between Bedard and the ref.
Yeah, it's gutsy for him to even ask, hey, can you get in my way? Like, he's only played 60 games in his career, but I like it. Respectfully. Asking him, hey, I'm trying to make a play here. Can you just, you know, move out of our way? And it's hard for the refs. They have 4 refs now. Back in the day when they had 3, it was really easy. 2 guys up top, 1 guy down low. Now they have 4. They're in both corners and up at the blue lines. And they're just, there's a lot going on. So you see them getting involved, unfortunately, more often than not, just because the game is fast and they don't know where to go because players are so, so creative, Tim. The game of the hockey is so entertaining, and these poor refs just can't get out of the way. All right, what else? This one I liked. This was a good little clip, Nick Foligno and him.
Yeah, I love this. They're on the bench together, and Foligno turns to Bedard, and he says, there's so much to teach you, and I don't have enough contract time. I'm going to have to stay in Chicago like 5 more years after I retire. So this is great, because he's taken in, obviously, Bedard, but other young players, Korchinski, Kurashev's on a line with them right now. And Foligno's whole role, the reason that he got extended, was to be this guy for Bedard, to take him under his wing, show the leadership. And you can see the connection, not just the hockey connection, but these two guys love each other. So I thought it was a great little moment.
It's a nice relationship they built. I've seen it for the whole year. And Nick Foligno, I wrote him off in Boston. I really did. He had a terrible stint there. He was a healthy scratch. Didn't really pan out when they got him. Didn't they pay a bunch for him? I can't remember what they got him for.
I don't know. His first year was really bad, but he won us over last year. He was great last year.
So he's coming to Chicago, 37, I want to say, 38 years old, kind of the last kick at the can. And they gave him a lot of money just to get to the floor of the cap. he's been fantastic. He's putting up points. He's being a leader. He's arguably the toughest guy on the team. So anytime somebody runs a player or gets in Bedard's face, he's the one who's fighting all the battles. He fought Ben Smith when he broke his jaw versus the Rangers a few months back. And he's just been the glue on this team, especially with what happened with Corey Perry and then Taylor Hall going down and all the other injuries. He's been the one constant on that team, and he's really revitalized his career. And it must be nice. It's probably easier to do that when you get to play with Connor Bedard, right? It's like you get to come to the rink and play with arguably a generational talent who is just fantastic. It makes the game so much easier. I can speak to this a tiny bit. Every once in a while, I'll get put on a line with a good player. It's so much easier to play with a Patrick Kane or a Joe Pavelski or a Joe Thornton. It's so much easier versus playing on a line with like a Mark, no offense to Marcus Foligno. Like those guys are meat and potato type players up and down the ice where you have to work for every inch. Those are fourth line guys who are my bread, like Patrick Coletta. It's like you're not getting the same types of passes that you would if you were playing like in Buffalo, if I was playing with Thomas Vanek. So Nick Foligno went from playing on the fourth line in Boston, playing with Trent Frederick and all these plumbers. Now he gets Kurashev and Bedard. And like he'll give him a pass and it's in the back of the net, or he gets a pass in front of the net for a backdoor tap in. Like it must be so nice for him to kind of close out his career, make a ton of money. He's way overpaid. And to play with arguably one of the top young players in the world right now. So it's got to be fun for him. And he's taking advantage of it. And he's doing the right thing by trying to instill all that he's learned in his 20 or 18 years in the NHL. So good for Nick. I like it.
It was a great moment. Yeah. And they've had a similar conversation a few weeks ago where he was like, I just can't keep up with you. Bedard's like, yeah. Why are you moving so slow? He's like, this is as fast as I move. But it's great. So Bedard had a 5-point night, like you said, third youngest player in the NHL to ever have in a 5-point night. One of them was the Nuge. Another one was another kid I didn't recognize, probably from the 90s or something. But it all
led I saw another stat. Sorry to Tim to cut you off. I saw another stat. And he's having such a good rookie year. I think there's only two players who have averaged a point per game in their rookie year, and one was Crosby, the other one was McDavid. And as it stands right now, Bedard's at like 0.92, 0.96, so he's just shy of a point per game. So he's having a fantastic, fantastic start to his career. And people forget, like, Crosby was on a team with Lemieux. McDavid was on a team with all those other first-round draft picks. Bedard has nobody. Like, he has Nick Foligno, who was almost out of the league this year. And then he has Filip Kurashev, who is not great. Like, he's a good player, but he's not a first-line guy. So he's doing this with not a lot of talent surrounding him. So the future is bright for this kid. He's playing fantastic. And then they have a couple. You mentioned Kevin Korchinski on the back end. I like him and Alex Vlasic. So Chicago has some good players in the pipeline that they can build around. And it'll take a few years, but slowly but surely, Tim, they're coming around. All right, but what is the real reason we're talking about this game? The big brawl. It's funny that everybody's calling it a brawl. It's just like, I'll show you a brawl. All right, what is everyone talking about?
Well, it's a brawl because the goalies got involved. So after the whistle behind the Chicago net, Tenorti and McTavish sort of get into it, and other players get engaged, and it's just crowded because it's behind the net. The refs are right there. It's a tight area. And you can see Gudas gets tangled up with Entwistle. And Entwistle has given up, 30 pounds and all the fighting experience. And Entwistle doesn't back down. Gudas just starts pummeling his face in. And Mrazek jumps in, which usually doesn't happen because it's not technically a fight, but it sort of is. You don't want to be the third man. You don't want to be the third man. It's a goalie especially. But Mrazek sees his guy just getting pummeled, basically. And he is kind of helpless. So he jumps in. More players jump in. And Mrazek going into the little scrum triggers John Gibson to skate the length of the ice, taking off his helmet and his pads as he goes, and he tries to get into the corner, and it's just, you know, chaos everywhere. It's not truly a brawl, like you said, but it's as close as we get to a brawl these days, and Gibson wanted Mrazek. Refs wouldn't let it happen, so I don't know. Who do you think would have won if they had gone?
Well, Gibson. Yeah, hands down. Peter Mrazek's just a little guy. I don't even know what John Gibson's stats are, but Peter Mrazek is not intimidating whatsoever. He reminds me of like an Anton Khudobin, where he's just this small little guy, not really jacked, but has a little meat on his bones. But yeah, that Gibson wanted to get out of the game. He was losing 6-2 to the Chicago Blackhawks. He had better things to do. He was hoping to get kicked out. He did not get kicked out. He got a 10-minute misconduct, but yeah, I don't know. That's what passes for all these days. I don't know. It was interesting.
He did get kicked out, actually, because he
Gibson did?
When you cross the red line, that's okay. Yeah, and so Doc Stoll, or whatever his name is, had to finish the game for the Ducks. And yeah, we were joking before the show. Like, there's just the best, probably the most entertaining and maybe the best game of the whole season for the Hawks. And of course, it's one of the ones that you weren't working, which is too bad.
I only work games when they get absolutely shellacked. And it's, I'll tell you what, it's hard to talk about a team in a positive light when they're losing 5-1 after the second period. And then they lose the game 6-2. And you're like, what positives can you take away from this game? I'm like, well, it's over. That's a good thing. And it's like, what else? So, but then the lights are the young kids. They're playing great. I'm trying to be nice to Chicago. I critique them a lot, but they're a good team. I enjoy calling the games for them. But yeah, Tenorti, this is what annoys me. I will critique him. Jared Tenorti needs to do more in that situation. You're seeing your goalie get involved. You're 6'7". You're a mountain of a man. Like, flip the switch, man. Let's go. Like, let's show, get angry. He's got to do a little bit more, I think, in those situations. And the same thing happened with Bedard when he got slashed by the Colorado Manson guy. You got to do more. You got to be active. You got to, like, if you want to stay in this league, which I know he's had a good career up and down, you know, healthy scratch, AHL, this and that. Big opportunity in Chicago. Bad team getting some big minutes. You have to just snap. Like, absolutely go bonkers ape. Like, that's what'll keep you in the league. I know it's sad to say that. It will. Like, I don't only bring it up the Toronto thing or the Boston thing. Those two moments kept me in the league a long time. The Phil Kessel thing showed I was just a lunatic and I would do anything. And then the Sean Thornton thing when I beat up Sean Thornton. Those two things extended my career by a couple of years because people thought I was crazy. Like, you went into Boston, beat up Sean Thornton, then pointed at Lucic and Chara and said, you're next. It's crazy. Like, I did. I didn't want to, but I did. And then in Toronto, I didn't want to jump Kessel. I feel like I had to. I was challenged, and I had to rise to the occasion. Tenorti needs to have that type of moment. The next game versus Colorado, or whenever they play him and Manson's playing, you have to go after him. Like, you have to. So he hasn't done it this year, unfortunately. I know he has injury histories. He's like a walking Band-Aid last year with the jaw and this and that. But I feel like that would keep him in the league longer. He could be very, very effective because he's a decent player. You got to snap every once in a while. You know what I mean? Like, just go crazy and just, like, make people second guess you. You know what? I'm not second guessing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, just if you had done what you did 10, 15 years ago in today's NHL, it wouldn't have extended your career. It probably would have shortened it, right?
To an extent. So I think the Kessel thing was a little egregious, but the Boston thing, no. Like, if you that was a lot. But yeah, if you just beat the tar out of somebody and then, like, challenge the bench and stuff, I think that's good for you. Like what Rempe's doing. Just, like, fighting guys and, like, smiling and calling people out. Look at him. This kid will have a career now if he can just keep his head screwed on straight. I think people still value that kind of just loose cannon. I do. If I was a coach, I'd want that on my bench. To say the unknown. I'll put him out. I don't know what he's going to do, but I will. So, all right, let's talk about some gambling, Tim. Let's get a little dangerous. Bet 99, eh?
Yes, Bet 99 was voted the number one online gaming experience in Canada with same game parlays, player props, and flash bet markets. Elevate your experience at Bet 99. John, who's your pick for today's bet?
Well, it's almost a weekly pick because this team's good all week. It's the Winnipeg Jets. They go out, get Toffoli. They got Sean Monahan. They've been playing really well. Connor Hellebuck, two shutouts. Well, only one shutout, but Lauren Boursois had a shutout a couple games before that. So they've been playing really good. They play Nashville, Anaheim, and Columbus this week. Tim, 3-0. Come on. This team's playing great hockey. Three subpar opponents. I'm throwing all of my Canadian loonies and toonies on all these games, and I'm winning a boatload of money. So get it on the line there. I'm predicting they go 3-0 in those games. The only one that might get a hiccup is Nashville, but they'll handle Nashville pretty good. These games mean something to these teams, and I think Winnipeg's buckling down for the playoffs. So, yeah, they are my pick this week. They're looking pretty strong.
Very good. Remember, you have to be 19 plus. Luckily, John, you are 19 plus. You play responsibly. It's available to people in Ontario only. So if you're listening in Ontario, go check out Bet99. Built by Canadians for Canadians.
If you live in Ontario, let me know and I'll send you some money and then I can bet through you. But you got to be 19. Right. My brother lives in Ontario. I should get him to sign up. Yeah. Because that's it. That's an easy bet. That's an easy win. All right. Speaking of Matt Rempe, Kittle, what are we doing, Tim? I just called you Kittle. I don't know why. All right, Kittle, what are we doing next?
Whatever I want to do. You mentioned Matt Rempe. He was suspended 4 games yesterday for the hit on Monday on Jonas Siegenthaler. This is his second incident with the Devils. Everyone remembers his hit last month against Bastion. The Devils have since traded before the deadline for Curtis McDermott. And I don't think that's a coincidence because McDermott challenges Rempe early in the game to a fight right in front of the benches. And Rempe kind of chats with him for a second, then skates away. He doesn't want it. And then he says, McDermott said after the game, after a hit like that, talking about the Bastion hit, not the hit that's coming later in the game. After a hit like that, it goes without saying that you should answer the bell and be a man about it. John, I'll pause right there. Do you feel like Rempe should have had to answer for the Bastion hit last month, the last time these two teams played?
No, I don't think he should. I don't think the Bastion hit was that egregious. I don't think he got suspended for it. So I don't think the league thought it was that bad. It was just an unfortunate situation where Bastion got hit in the head a little bit. He got his bell rung. But no, and I think Rempe made the smart decision by not fighting Curtis McDermott. I talked about it last week or the week before where he needs to pick his spots and he needs to be smart with his fighting. He's only, you know, has one career and he's already fought all the heavyweights pretty much in the league right now to date, other than Curtis McDermott. So why risk it? You've already, you know, solidified yourself as a tough guy. Your face is mashed potatoes. You're healing up. Oh, and by the way, you're scoring goals, playing pretty decent hockey. So what benefit do you get from fighting Curtis McDermott, especially when you're the Rangers and you're the better team and you will win this game? You saw what he fought early on versus Columbus, versus Olivier. He loses the fight. Columbus gets the momentum and they go on to the win of the game. So I'm sure that's in the back of his mind. Why would I fight this guy when it's 0-0 and we're the better team? So let him chase me around. Who cares? His mind's all messed up trying to get me to fight. I can play my game and I'm a better hockey player than he is. So I like this play. I really do. It's frustrating for McDermott. He's trying to entice him into play, calling him out. I'm Rempe. I'm just laughing. It's like, who cares? Suck it, man. I'm not fighting you. So I like this. I don't mind that by him saying no.
Okay. And so then later in the game, he throws the hit on Siegenthaler, immediately ejected, tossed from the game. And then, you know, he was suspended for 4 games, like we said. McDermott spoke after the game about this and then basically called out Rempe for not answering the code. And so this is where there's a little bit of a disagreement between what you're saying and what McDermott said. McDermott said, quote, there's a right way to go about things and a wrong way. I lost a lot of respect for him tonight. And so obviously he couldn't have fought after the Siegenthaler hit because he went right down the tunnel. The game was over for him. But do you feel like, I don't know, does McDermott have a point about the code and the way that Rempe's handled himself in the last
decade? Now is where my thought process changes. They play again April 3rd. If Rempe declines a fight again, then I agree with McDermott. I don't think McDermott really had a leg to stand on for this game. Now Rempe has crossed the line. You buried someone, illegal 4-game suspension. Now you have to step up and fight this guy. So we'll see come April if they fight again, because they do play again. It's in a couple weeks. His suspension will be over. So now he can step up and answer the bell and, you know, right that wrong. Pay the ticket, because he hit somebody, he's just got suspended, it is what it is, so now you'll have to fight. The first time, I don't think he needed to fight, but that's just me. And McDermott's saying this because the game's over, he challenged him twice, he's feeling pretty good about himself, and one of his players got hurt. So he's like, he's a coward, you know, this is how it's... So he has to say those things, he's trying to protect his job, but now you fight. And if McDermott really wanted to fight him, he would have grabbed him in that first scrum. There's ample time. Refs aren't going to call an instigator when two tough guys fight. They never will. I jumped plenty of guys in like a scrum and stuff. And as long as it's two tough guys, they won't. You're not getting an instigator. I remember one time we were playing Edmonton. I was in Chicago and I really wanted to fight Zach Stortini. He always said no, always. And he came, he was coming to hit me. and I saw him coming, my gloves were off before he was within 5 feet of me. I'm like, he's coming to hit me. I'm fighting this son of a gun. I could care less. And I was throwing punches as he was hitting me. And I did not get an instigator. He's fuming mad because he's like, he's jumped me. He jumped me. You're damn right I jumped him, because I had asked him for years before that. I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to jump this guy. So you can drop your gloves crazy early if you're fighting another tough guy. It's just the refs don't care at all. They're like, go for it. No instigator. But anyways, he should have did it earlier. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the Siegenthaler hit for a second, because there wasn't a lot of defense of Matt Rempe online, but the people that did were basically saying he can't control how tall he is. And, you know, and this is a question for you as a tall guy, like, it's not your fault that when you line up against someone, your elbow is the same height as a lot of other players' heads. Do you have, as a tall guy, do you have more responsibility to control your limbs and your positioning and have that awareness? Or is it not that big a deal?
No, I think you nailed it with the first part. I think you have a responsibility to tuck your elbow. You have to be aware of how tall you are. And the way the game is, as soon as you extend it a little bit, you're going to get a suspension. Because the optics of it looks terrible. And he did chicken wing him in this hit. Like, he comes right across the ice, and you can tell he wanted to hit him flush. Siegenthaler pulls up. Rempe, last minute, chicken winged, and he catches him right in the jaw. So this is a suspension. I don't know if it's 4 games. It's his first defense. I think they went heavy just because it's him, and they're trying to send a message to him to calm it down a little bit. But I got a 7-game suspension for hitting someone with my shoulder in his head. It wasn't even my elbow, just because there was a bad pitcher taken the second after my hit. So go, you hit it with your elbow. No, I didn't. A picture of me extending after the hit, trying to brace myself. Well, my elbow did not touch. My elbow did not touch Louis Erickson's head. I'll go to the grave thinking that. You show me a picture of my elbow in contact with his head, and I'll be surprised.
Okay. The last thing I want to ask about Rempe is that I think a lot of the Rempe mania and the love and adoration for him is starting to wear out around the league, except for the Rangers fans and some of the diehards who love the roughness of it. Do you feel like Rempe is wearing out his excitement and goodwill and earning a bad reputation? Because I saw one of our listeners messaged me calling him Matt Cook, throwing dirty hits and not answering for it. Do you feel like he's starting to cross a line? Or I don't think he's necessarily ruined his reputation, but he's starting to get one that he probably doesn't want.
Yeah, I could see that, because the last week and a half, he's thrown 2 really dangerous hits, borderline hits. So, yeah, I could totally see that. He's only been in the league. He's probably played, less than 10 games. He's been suspended. He's been in a bunch of fights. He's had 2 questionable hits. So, yeah, like that, you get your reputation like that. So, 100%.
Yeah.
He's got to cool it. He needs to slow down a little bit. You got to cool it, Matt.
I was reading an article about him this morning and about the 4-game suspension. The article said that he doesn't have any past history. It's like he's played like 11 games. You know,
well, I wonder if they take into account the AHL as well. I don't know if they do or not. But for his short history, he's definitely racked up some bad mojo in the NHL. He's like a marked man wherever he goes now. Yeah. It's a good thing. Luckily, this guy was better. Do you remember Aaron Voros?
Yeah.
He did this. He came into the league like a shot out of a cannon, fought like every other game, hair flying everywhere for the Minnesota Wild. It was like 20 games left in the season, and he just made his mark. He was just a man possessed. And then he just grinded it out for another, I think, 6 years in the show. And he was a terrible hockey player. But just he made an imprint that first 20 games. I should watch my – I'm playing in that alumni game with them next month, so I should be careful what I say. So he's going to be on my team. So he might be a friend of the show. He might listen. But I didn't like him at all. He was one of these guys. He had like his area code tattooed across his chest from Vancouver, and he thought he was like a thug. I'm like, Aaron, stop. Like, you're playing hockey and you think you're a gangster. Like, I will take you outside and beat your doors off. Like, you're not a gangster. He was so... so funny.
He was on the Rangers, but I think he came up with Minnesota, right?
Yeah. So I played with him in Houston. That's how I know him.
Okay. Yeah. This is so random that I don't know why I remember this, but back in like fantasy hockey and whatever it would have been, 2010, him and Antti Miettinen, is that how you say it? Happened to have like a very small window of a hot start. Like in the first five games of the season, they each had like 3 or 4 points. They both finished the season with like 12. They did nothing the rest of the year. But I remember everyone going on the waiver wire and grabbing like, who are these guys? Putting up all these points in the first week and then did nothing again. But that's what I think of.
And then he signed a big deal with the Rangers. I think he got like a couple million dollars a year for like 4 years. So he parlayed his hot start in Minnesota to a big deal with the Rangers, which they were apt to do in those years. They were throwing money at everybody. But
yeah, they were.
Anyways, Tim, did you know I used to work at Tim Hortons?
Oh.
Yeah, I worked there for a summer. I made the donuts and delivered them to all the stores in the area. One of my most enjoyable jobs. Yeah.
You did McDonald's too, didn't you?
McDonald's and Tim Hortons. Yeah, I went back-to-back summers with those two franchises. Timmy's was much better. I would, I made the donuts and I would drive them around to the five stores we supplied in St. Catharines. I would like go to my buddy's house between stops and like bring them donuts and hang out and stuff and like to shoot the breeze for whatever long and just hang out. Be like, hey, fellas, all right, I got to back to work. It was great. One time I was delivering donuts and I left the van door open in the back. And I drove away and all the donuts right out the back, like four trays of them. I'm like, what do I do? I'm this 18-year-old, maybe 17. I just threw them back on the tray. I'm going to get some angry hate mail. Some people were eating donuts that hit the ground. Oh, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, I have no more donuts. I'm delivering to all these stores. So
that's funny.
What are you going to do? Life comes at you fast, right, Tim? Well, what's your Tim's takes today?
Yeah, well, speaking of Tim Hortons, they have a new roll-up-to-win promotion for their 60th anniversary with daily prizes included daily cash jackpot of $10,000, an all-electric Volkswagen ID4, and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. My take today, our next segment is going to be talking about the standings update in the East and the West. I know this isn't exactly a hugely bold take, but my take is that the 16 teams in the playoff spots right now are going to be the final result. I think the playoffs, the order might change a little bit, especially in the wild card, but I feel like what we see now is what we're going to see entering the postseason. But before we get into that, remember, download the Tim's app. The contest goes until March 31st, which brings us to the standings update in the East. John, the Panthers and the Rangers are basically starting to pull away, I think, as the clear division leaders. I don't think either of them probably lose it for the rest of the year, barring any crazy hot streaks.
You don't think the Bruins are going to catch the Panthers?
No.
They're going to catch the Lightning wild card.
Stop. But the Flyers still hanging on to third in the Metro. Even with the Islanders winning six in a row and having all the success right now, the Flyers still hanging on by a couple of points. Wouldn't you have bet a month ago on February 1st or even March 1st that they would have fallen out of contention by now? I remember talking about them. They had lost a couple of games and I said, okay, this is where we start to see the regression to the norm. They're not a playoff team. They're going to go away. They're hanging on. I give a lot of credit to them.
I disagreed with you on that because John Tortorella coach team isn't just going away. This team has played the same way the whole single season. They're all like really pricks to play against. They play hard, and this is a perfect playoff hockey team. But no, I think they're going to stay right there. I like their team. I mean, Owen Tippett's playing well. He's playing good hockey. Couturier, and then Travis Konecny's back from injury, so I like the Philadelphia Flyers. I really do. They picked up, who's the D-man they got? Did they get Drysdale or who'd they get?
Drysdale, but he's hurt.
Drysdale, he's hurt, but he's been playing well since he's been there. So I don't think they're going anywhere. I like the Philadelphia Flyers 100%. What's their goalie's name? Who was involved in that Canada hockey scandal stuff? Was it Carter Hart? When he went gone with that, I thought they were going to be done, and that was how many months ago? They played great. What are you smiling at?
It's funny how you can't remember anyone's name.
Cam York, I called him.
That's a defenseman they have.
I know. I'm confused a little bit, but no, I like them. I was on NHL radio today, Sirius satellite NHL radio, and one of the hosts was like, Buffalo's on a heater. What do you think? Do you think they're going to make the playoffs now? Not a chance. Buffalo Sabres, there's no way they're making the playoffs. But yeah, the East is getting tight, Tim. I disagree with you. I don't think those eight teams will be in there. I think the Red Wings will jump back in the playoffs. They need Dylan Larkin back in a bad way. That guy, I didn't realize how important he is for that team, but he's missed the last three. Oof. Drastic, noticeable difference with the output of that team. He's a huge part.
Well, that's the biggest story in the East right now is their losing streak. They've lost six in a row. They were on a six-game winning streak a few weeks back, outscoring opponents 28-10 during that stretch. Then the free fall began. Six straight ugly losses by a combined 32-11. They were outscored. The funny thing is they're still in pretty good shape standings-wise. They have 72 points, same as the Islanders. They lose the tiebreaker because they played more games. The Islanders have one or two in hand. But like you said, they're going to have Larkin back sometime, hopefully by the end of next week. And the rest of the month is a pretty easy schedule for them. Coming up, they have Arizona, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Columbus. They should win all four of those. Islanders is going to be a huge game for them, both of those teams. Then followed up by Nashville, Washington, a little bit tougher at the end, Carolina and Florida. They could go, that's 9 games. They should win 5 or 6 of those, and they could be right back on track. But right now, it's not looking good for these guys.
Yeah, you would hope so. I don't know what to expect. Dylan Larkin, I don't know what his injury status is, when he's going to be back. But right now, their center position is decimated. I always talk about down the middle. You got to be strong down the middle. You have JT Compher, Joe Valeno, Andrew Kopp, Kristen Fisher. That's not scaring anybody, Tim. Nobody is worried about that center group. They're strong on the wings. They have great wingers, DeBrincat and Kane and Lucas Raymond. Like that's where their strength lies. But without Dylan Larkin, this team has no chance. No chance. You heard it here first. Okay, everybody, listen to me.
Old take. You should have a Tim's take today.
Without Larkin, team's going nowhere. So I don't know. Whenever he comes back, if he comes back with, you know, 8 games left, I'll give him a chance. But if he comes back with 4 games left, dead in the water. What's going on out west, kiddo?
The top 3 in the Central remain the same as it's been for a while now. Dallas, Winnipeg, and Colorado. In the Pacific, Vancouver is starting to run away with it again. They've won 4 in a row. They're lapping the competition. But the wild card is really interesting. Everyone's talking about Vegas right now. Kings have surpassed Vegas. Again, very close. It's a tiebreaker. But the Kings have surpassed Vegas for 3rd in the Pacific. Vegas is now 2nd in the wild card behind Nashville. They're still in pretty good standing. They've got, you know, 7 or 8 more points to the next team up, which is going to be Minnesota, St. Louis, then Calgary and Seattle right there too. So it's close, but Vegas only has 3 wins in their last 10 games. They stole one last night against Seattle in overtime. They scored late in the third. Huge point. But I don't know. Are you worried about this team?
Not to not make the playoffs. I feel like they're solidly in there. The West is more concrete than the East, but yeah, it's a little unnerving. You'd want to be playing good hockey going into the playoffs, but they will get some reinforcements, Tim, in the playoffs. Let's not forget, they're going to get Stone. They're going to get Hurdle. This is a completely different team than you'll see game one of the playoffs when they match up against the Vancouver Canucks. If the standings stay the same, what a first-round matchup. We talked about it last show. I'm, like, salivating. This would be so, so sexy for this first-round matchup. And they have Edmonton and L.A. They have rivalries. I think they've been in the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years. They've matched up against each other, so that would be a great matchup. So we'll see. I think it will change. I think the Golden Knights will surpass the Kings. And don't sleep on the Predators. Nah, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be a wild card team, but that matchup might change. I think LA will slip down to a wild card, and Vegas will catch their footing.
Yeah, and like you said, if it's not in Vancouver, it's Dallas or Edmonton. Those are the 3 possibilities.
It's good. That first-round matchup, it will be tremendous. Absolutely. Well, Dallas won't be as great, but it'll be unfortunate for Dallas to get bounce in the first round, but Edmonton or Vancouver will be fun.
I'm gonna see if you'll give me this or not. If Vegas misses the playoffs by some stretch and Seattle gets hot and they continue to falter, will that be a bigger disappointment than the Bruins losing in the first round last year?
No. Not even close. You have to realize that they were a number one seed. Number one, best team in the history of hockey, and you lose in the first round after being up 3-1?
The team winning the trade deadline and missing the playoffs is pretty – that's
Tim,
a tough one.
You were up 3-1, and you're the most successful team in NHL history over 100 years. I blame that selfish prick Patrice Bergeron.
Okay. Moving on.
That guy played 3 games. They lost all 3 of them. Unbelievable.
The Q Hall of Fame.
He didn't retire. He got kicked out because they didn't want him. He's like, you lost your last 3 games. Thanks a lot, Patrice. Cost us the cup. Let's do some quick hits before I really start going off on Patrice.
Our quick hits are brought to you by DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and free delivery with promo code NATION25, all capitals. Offer valid in where? Canada. Subject to change. Just a couple quick ones here. Some guys are having some great starts on their new teams. Casey Mittelstadt had his first goal for the Avalanche last night, and it was a beauty. Bo Byram had 4 points. He had two points last night. He has 4 points in 3 games since joining the Sabres. He's a +3. 3 of those points are goals. He's just doing very well. We kind of laughed at him on the power play the other day, but something's clicking there. He's gelling with that group, and if he can stay healthy, that's the thing with him. But good to see these guys thriving in their new situations.
Well, he's playing with Rasmus Dahlin. That's not a bad partner. So he went from Colorado's watching Makar and Taves get all the great starting time in the offensive zone, the first power play unit. Now he's got Dahlin riding shotgun to him, and he's on the first power play unit. He's having some fun. It's a nice change of pace for him.
I meant to tell you that Checkers game I went to the other day, that one of my friends, Wes, one of his buddies is a huge Sabres fan. And Wes had told him I do the podcast. And he goes, oh, you do the podcast? John Scott. We love John Scott. He's a big, he knows who you are. And I was asking him about, because I think the trade deadline was that day. And I said, what do you think of Byram? What do you think about this and that? Who's the next captain? He is very frustrated. And he said, most Sabres fans with Alex Tuch, very frustrated with the coach, Granato, very frustrated with Owen Power, said he's big, but he's soft and he skates slow and all this stuff. And that Rasmus Dahlin will be the next captain, not Tage Thompson.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Including liking you.
Yeah. He's got his head on straight with that, but it will be Tage Thompson. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. If we could bet on that with Bet99, I would. Who is the next captain of the Buffalo Sabres? Tage Thompson.
That's a lock that you'll go move to Ontario just to make some money on it, huh?
I would. I would buy a house and then pay for it with my winnings from Tage Thompson. Well, because just look at the stats. Tage Thompson is 6'7", right? he's a mountain of a man. They're both signed to long-term deals. Rasmus Dahlin is a paltry 6'3". Ugh. I'm not going to respect a guy who's 6'3". Give me a break.
I'm 6'3", man. Come on. All right, the last one here.
You're not a cat. Who's the captain of this show?
The last one here, Thatcher Demko is week to week for the Vancouver Canucks with a lower body injury, expected to return prior to the playoffs. Won't have a huge impact. Vancouver's been winning. They're way ahead in the standings. And Rick Tocchet even said he's not worried at all, quote unquote. But it's just something to keep an eye on.
Just in case, I might have to take advantage of that in fantasy. Who's their backup? Go and grab him. I don't know either. But I got to get some W's on my belt if I'm going to make playoffs in that thing. I've been struggling. His backup is Casey DeSmith. How are you doing in fantasy, Tim? I checked it the other day.
Yeah, 11th place.
Not good.
Not great. Not great. But don't let me get hot. Don't let me make the playoffs. You guys don't want to face this team.
My Bedard pick's looking pretty good. Finally paying off. My second round pick of Connor Bedard.
I think he's got 5 goals, 13 assists in 13 games since he's had the bubble on. Good.
And you know what? The good thing about him, he shoots a ton. He had the last game I did when they played the Capitals, he had 15 shot attempts. I think only 6 hit the net. A couple were blocked, missing it. 15 times he shot the puck. That's a lot. That's Ovechkin in his prime.
Well, speaking of Ovi, you don't have to talk about it, but I know that you're happy that Ovi's not scoring and the Red Wings are losing. Two of your rivalries with fan bases just coming up John Scott right now.
Yeah, the Iser plan is really paying off. It's really good. You lose one player and your team crumbles. That's when you know you have a successful team that can withstand adversity. One guy, it's like the whole tower falls because you lose one player. And then Ovi, he had 8 goals his first 43 games, and he had 10 in 18 games, I want to say. Now he's back on the schneid. Rightfully so. He's old. So he shouldn't score. He's 54 back still. Do you want to revisit your prediction of him getting it?
Going to get it. He's going to get it.
It's so funny. I click on the Washington website and it's just him holding a basketball, Alex Ovechkin. It's a cap slam dunk. It's so funny. He's a good guy. I don't want to fault him. I don't think he's going to break the record, but gosh, he's so good. But is that all, Tim?
Go buy some merchandise. Dropinthegloves.com/merch.
Pushing that merch, baby.
I don't even know what it is. I'm check it out. All over the socials.
I don't even know what it is. Go and buy it. It's good stuff. Dropinthegloves.app/CA/.
Buy merch.
Tim.
Slash merch. Yeah, go buy. A lot of people have bought it so far. They're loving it. So go check it out.
It's good stuff. Tim put a lot of hard work into it. So go and make him happy. And then maybe slide one my way. Send it to me. 13310 Southwest Bayshore Drive, Traverse City, Michigan, 49684. Double XL. I am losing weight. Like, I've lost 12 pounds in the last, like, 3 weeks. It's because I haven't been eating breakfast or lunch. I'm like, my pants, I have to punch a new ring on my belt because my pants are falling off. Pets' heads are falling off. All right, everybody. Have a good rest of your day. We'll talk to you. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. Your chicken's heads are falling off, John. I hate you. I'm going to murder you. Relax, everybody. All right. I'll talk to everybody on Friday. Have a good Wednesday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.